Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurrah. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. In the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, the 10th verse, Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." Jesus has come that you and I may have life and we might have it abundantly, abundant life. I want that, don't you? I want that abundant life, not to sleepwalk through it, not to just pass time. I want that abundant life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. In our lesson this morning from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells us how we can have that abundant life, not just passing time life. But abundant life. It's a great passage of Scripture. I invite you to turn to the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel and read along with me, or just listen as I read. But I want to invite you to pay particular attention to these powerful, powerful words as Jesus shares with us how it is that we can have abundant life. Hear this God's Word for us today. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He'll separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He'll place the sheep at His right hand, but the goats at the left. And then the King will say to those at His right hand, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that's prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when? When did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." And then He will say to those at His left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." And then they will answer, Lord, when? When did we see thee hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to thee? And then he will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Wow. Word of God for the people of God. Thank you, and you may be seated. Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? And now, God, either through me or in spite of me, you speak to these your people, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, I was teaching this passage of Scripture. And when I finished that session, I had a member of the church come up to me. He was a long-standing member. And he came up to me. I'll never forget what he said. I'll never forget the way that he said it. And I want to quote him directly this morning. I think I've gotten to know you well enough to know that you can take it. It was kind of tough, what he said. This is what he said. He said, preacher, that passage scares the hell out of me. That's what he said. And that's the way he said it. What do people like us do with this passage this morning? What do we do? What do we do with this passage? You remember what was going on? Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, this is what's going to happen. He's going to gather the nations and he's going to separate them. And he used this analogy. He said he's going to gather the nations and he's going to separate them like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he's going to say to those at his right hand, come and receive that which has been prepared for you. And then he tells them why it is that they can receive what's been prepared. Because, he said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you were the ones. You were the ones who gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. You know what that is, a stranger? Estranged. Estranged. People who have brokenness in their lives, in their relationships, in their lives. They were strangers. I was a stranger. Different. And you welcomed me. I was naked, and you were the ones who clothed me. I was sick. I was sick. I was in prison. You were the ones who, well, you came to me. You came to be with me. You were the ones. And they were stunned by that, these folks. Do you remember in our lesson? They were shocked. They were astonished by what he had said because they didn't remember that, which really speaks to me. You know, interesting about people who do things like that. So oftentimes, you know, they don't even know that they're doing it. They just do it because it's life. It's life. You just do it. They weren't doing it to get attention, to get noticed. They said, when were you hungry and we fed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you something to drink? When was it that you were a stranger and we welcomed you and naked and we clothed you? When were you sick, imprisoned, and we were the ones who came to you to minister to you, to love you, to care about you? When? You remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, when you did it to them, when you did it to them. You know, do you know who them are? Them are those that are in need. They're the ones who are lost. They're the ones that are hurting. They're the ones that need somebody to put their arms around them and pick them up. And Jesus said, when you did it to them, you did it to me. You are actually doing it to me. But you know what? He didn't stop there, did he? Then he turned to the others. You remember what he said? Depart from me. This is what he said to the others. Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. whoa, boy. What do we do with that? What do we do with this passage? What do folks like us do with this passage? You know what I mean when I say folks like us? People of grace. That's who we are. We're Methodists. The foundation of our theology is grace. That's what we hang our hat on. Grace, grace, always grace. Undeserved, unmerited, unconditional. It's a love that never stops. God doesn't love us if we do this. God loves us even though we do that. He just keeps loving us. People of grace. What do we do with a passage like this? People of grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What do we do with this passage? Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire that's been prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, man. I like that amazing grace, how sweet the sound, a whole lot better. How about you? I like that better. So what do we do? What do we do with this passage this morning? What do we do with it? Well, we got some poking around to do, don't we? We got to deal with it. That's what we do. We deal with it. And here's how we're going to deal with it this morning. We're going to deal with it by going back to three words that I think get at the essence of what this passage is about, all about for you and me today. The first word is the word choices. Choices. You know, God has created us and given us this wonderful gift of life. We didn't ask for it. We didn't do anything to get it. God just gave you and me this one. Isn't that amazing? I find that amazing that God just gave you life. God just gave me life. And a part of that wonderful gift, in fact, it's one of the greatest gifts of that great gift of life, is God has given to us as a part of the gift of life, the gift of choice. Choices. We get to choose. You and I get to choose. Isn't that amazing? We get to choose, you and I. We get to choose every day what it is that we're going to do with this gift of life that God has so graciously given to each of us. You and I get to make choices. We get to choose how we're going to use our time. We get to choose what we're going to do with our time. We get to choose what it is we're going to do with this wonderful gift of life. And we get to make that choice. Am I going to use my life for something worthwhile? Am I going to use my time for things that matter? Or am I going to waste it? Am I going to just waste it away? Am I going to waste my time? Am I going to waste my energy? So what am I going to do? I get to make that choice. You get to make that choice. If we waste it, it's not because it was forced on us to waste it. No, we made that choice. We made that choice. You and I, listen, we get to choose whether we're going to be sheep or goats. We get to make that choice. It's not forced on us. We get to choose. Now, we don't choose everything that happens to us in life, do we? There are circumstances, there are things that happen to us that are out of our control. But you know what we get to choose in the midst of that? We get to choose how we're going to live with it. We get to choose what we're going to do with the stuff that happens to us. We get to choose how we're going to respond to it. In other words, here's the thing that's so important to me. You and I get to choose what our story is going to be. We get to choose that. We get to choose how it is that we're going to write our story. Choices. Choices. And we make those choices every day. And here's the thing. Here's what I want you to hear this morning. Those choices are so incredibly important for you and me in our life. And here's the reason why they're so important. The choices that you and I make impact every moment of our lives. We get to choose whether or not Jesus is really going to be the Lord of our life. He lets us make that choice. We get to choose whether we're going to live in relationship with Jesus as what's most important in our life. He doesn't make us make that choice. We get to choose that. We have that choice. And if we make that choice, it impacts everything else about us and everything else about our life. Choices. Look what's going on in our lesson this morning. We got a choice. We can choose to be sheep. We can choose to be goats. But you and I get to make that choice. That's the first lesson. Choices. Here's the second thing, grace. Look at what's going on. God gives us life, and as a part of that life, God gives us the ability to choose, to make choices of how we're going to spend our time in life, what we're going to do with the gift of life. And in the midst of those choices, God offers us grace. And here's the grace. God helps us in making those choices because God wants us, Jesus wants us, to make the right choices so badly that He tells us what those right choices are. Remember John 10:10? I have come that you have life. This is the reason Jesus has come. He's come so that we don't just sleepwalk our way through life. I've come that you, people of First Church, can have life and have it abundantly. He wants that for us so badly that He tells us what the right choices are. That's grace. You know, a lot of people that get hung up over this passage of Scripture that I just read a moment ago. I mean, people that get hung up over this passage. Because here's what they say. They say, you know what? We say we believe in grace, and then we preach grace, and we teach grace, and we sing about grace. And then here's this passage of judgment. In fact, we call it, it's the great judgment. What do you do with it, this judgment in the midst of grace? Here's what I want you to think about this morning. I believe that God's judgment is in and of itself an act of grace. That God's judgment is an act of grace in our lives because when God judges us, it's a way of God shining His light into the midst of the darkness of our lives to show us a different way. I think it's exactly what He's doing in our lesson this morning through Jesus. He's showing us the right answer. This is the right choice. This is what you need to choose in order to have life and have it abundantly. Another way of saying that is, Jesus is giving us the right choice, the right answer to the test in the middle of the course. Did you ever have a teacher do that for you, to give you the right answer? They would give you the answers to the test in the middle of the course if you were listening and paying attention? Jesus is just giving us the right answer to the test before we ever take the test. Do you ever have a teacher give you the right answer because they wanted it so badly for you? When I was in the seventh grade over in West Tennessee, we took Tennessee history. You guys take Tennessee, did y'all take Tennessee history? You remember Tennessee history? Do they still teach Tennessee history? We had it in the seventh grade. It was always in the seventh grade. That was Tennessee history. And my Tennessee history teacher was a lady named Miss Dorothy, now listen to this, Miss Dorothy Silvertooth. That was her name. Isn't that a great name? Miss Dorothy Silvertooth. She was about this tall right here. She was about that tall, and she was about this big around. She was about that tall, about that big. Oh, man, she was my favorite. Do you have a favorite teacher? You have a favorite teacher? Whew. Man, Miss Silvertooth. Yeah, she was one of my favorites. One of my favorites. And I loved her. You ever have a teacher you loved? I loved Miss Silvertooth. And you know something else? Miss Silvertooth loved Cliff. You understand what I'm saying? Miss Silvertooth loved Cliff. And I loved Miss Silvertooth for loving Cliff. We were pals, Miss Silvertooth and I. She'd give a test, Miss Silvertooth. She wanted us to learn Tennessee history. She loved Tennessee history. She gave us a test. Her tests were always multiple choice. There's that word, multiple choice. Did I tell you that I love Miss Silvertooth? I love those multiple choice. You know why I love multiple choice? Because the answer's right there in front of you. It's right there. You just got to choose. You see? You get to choose. But you've got to choose the right answer. We were taking a test one day, 25 questions. I remember it like it was yesterday, 25 questions. I was certain about every question on that test except for one, number 25. I got the number. Although, I knew. It was multiple choice, for crying out loud. Answer's right there in front of me. I knew all the others. Number 25 was hanging me up. I was sitting there kind of pondering over number 25. Miss Silvertooth, when she would give a test, had this habit of walking up and down the aisle. She would walk up and down the aisles. And as she was coming down the aisle, we made eye contact. She could tell I was a little bit troubled. She said, Cliff, you look a little bit troubled. What's going on? I said, well, Miss Silvertooth, it's this last question, number 25. It's hanging me up, number 25. She said, well, what's the problem? Let's read the question. We just read the question together. So we read the question. I could see it like it's yesterday. She's standing over my right shoulder. She said, let's just read the question together. I read the question. She said, okay, now let's read our choices. Let's read our answers. We went A, B, C, and D. We finished going through A, B, C, and D. She looked down at me. I remember she lowered her voice. She whispered. There were other students around. She leaned down and whispered. She said, now you know it's not A. She said, I just threw A in there to have four answers. I looked up at her and I said, oh, I wasn't even thinking about A. I wasn't even thinking about A. She said, good boy, good boy. She looked down and she said, now what about B? What do you notice about B? I looked down at B and I said, well, what I notice about B is that B is the same answer. It's the answer to question number two way up here. She said, good boy, what does that tell you? And I said, it tells me it can't be the answer to number 25. She said, good boy. She said, what does that leave us with? I said, it leaves us with C and D, C and D. She said, yep, C and D. I said, yep, C and D. That's right where I am, C and D. C and D. And I'm looking back at C and D, C and D. She said, yep, C and D. Now, she said, you got to choose. Well, look, she's got me down to 50-50, right? C and D. So here's what I did. I took my pencil and I started right up here. Can y'all see this? I started right up here. And I started coming around just like this. And when I got right down to here, so I started right up here. When I got right down to here, I hesitated ever so slightly. And that's when I looked back up at her. When I looked up at her, when I hesitated, she grimaced. And that's when I just kept coming right on up. And when I did, she smiled. She had the biggest, prettiest smile. Miss Silvertooth had buck teeth. She could eat an apple through a picket fence, I'm going to tell you. And she had these space in between the two front teeth. It was the prettiest smile. She grinned, and she grinned from ear to ear. And all of a sudden, I heard her say, well, I can't say anything. I can't say anything. But as she was walking off, she said, but I'm a happy teacher today. I'm a happy teacher. Do you ever have a teacher like that? Miss Silvertooth taught Tennessee history, and she loved it. You want to know why? Because she thought that Tennessee was the greatest state in the greatest country in the world. And here's what she wanted. She wanted her students to learn Tennessee history, and she wanted us to get the answers right. She wanted us to make the right choices, and she would do everything that she could to get us to make the right choices and to show us the right choices. Jesus has come so that you can have life. He doesn't want us messing around with stuff that doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't want us wasting our time on things that don't matter. Jesus wants you and me to have life, and He wants us to have it abundantly, and He wants it so badly that He'll do what? Tell us what the answers are. He's going to tell us, He has told us, what the right choice is in the middle of a course. Here it is, and we've got it right here in this story. How do you have it? How do you have it? What have we got this morning? Look, you see the grace there? There's grace all over the story. Grace all over this story. We got choices. We've got grace. Here's the last word, relationships. Look at what's happened. God's given us life, and as a part of that gift of life, He's given us the wonderful gift of choice, to be able to choose which way we're going to go. We get to choose what we're going to do with this, guys. We get to choose. You and I get to choose. Then there's grace. Jesus has told us what the right choices are so that we can choose the correct way of having life that is meaningful and full of life, abundant living. And then He tells us how it is that we do that. Relationships. That's how you do it. Relationships. That's what this passage is about. Relationships. To be in relationship with Jesus and to make His way become our way. He becomes the Lord of our life. We've been talking about this all the way through our study on Matthew's gospel. And when He becomes the Lord of our life, His way becomes our way because we are so in tune, hooked up with Him in relationship to Him. Jesus said it. Remember in John's gospel, I'm the way and the truth and the life. His way is the way to truth and it's the way to life. Not something we say about Him. No, it's a way of life. It's a way of living life. And that way of living life is what? It's the way of the cross. It's a way of servanthood. It's a way of getting outside of ourselves where we think we're the most important to looking at the needs and the concerns and the issues and the hurts of those that are around us. And when we get involved in that and when we give ourselves to that and our love for Christ, I want to tell you, it fills us up with life. It gives us life. That's how you get life. That's how you get life. It's relationship to Him and being in relationship to those that Jesus came to be in relationship with. That's what He's saying to us this morning. A few weeks back, I came back from Guatemala. I shared with you a little bit about Dr. Sergio. You remember Dr. Sergio? Dr. Sergio is the greatest Christian I've ever met. He was a doctor in Guatemala City, making a great living for his wife and for his children. And he heard Jesus calling him into the Coffee Mountain region of Guatemala where there were no doctors, there was no medical care. And he became the one to serve 8,000 to 10,000 people a year that if it weren't for him, they don't receive medical care from anybody else. They're the Mayans. And the Mayans in Guatemala are the untouchables. They are the dirty. They are the unclean. If you touch them, you are seen as unclean. And because Dr. Sergio has given his life to them, people of the medical community that were his friends, his cohorts, his colleagues, disowned him. They deserted him. And he went into this area to serve these wonderful, wonderful people. We asked him what his dream was in our last trip, and he said, well, here's what's happening. I've got people that come to see me. There are medical teams that will come this month in March. There will be medical teams that will perform 65 surgeries just in the month of March. He said, I've got people that come to me. Some of them actually hike 4 days through the jungle in order just to see a doctor, just to get here. You know what? We've got needs right in our backyard, don't we? Some of you are probably sitting here thinking right now, well, what are you doing telling us about Guatemala? For crying out loud, we got needs right here in Murfreesboro. I know that. How would you like to walk 4 days just to go see the doctor? 4 days. They bring their family because that's their culture. He said, there's no place for them to stay. There's no place for them to stay. They just sleep out in the weeds and with whatever's crawling around out there. We said, what's your dream? He said, if we could have a place for them to stay when they come to receive medical care, like a cinder block. He called it a hotel. My wife called it a Ronald McDonald House. That's really what it is. I asked the team leader of our mission group, how much would that cost? He said, somewhere between here in Guatemala, we can build it $40,000 to $80,000, depending upon what Dr. Sergio needs in it. And I shared that with some of you. The week after I shared that, I got a call from one of you. I got a call from one of you in this church. And this person said, I want this to be anonymous, but I want to give a matching gift of $40,000. I want to give a matching gift of $40,000. I will match anything that's given up to $40,000. I want those people to have a place to stay. When did we see you hungry and we fed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you something to drink? When did we come to you? Jesus said, when you went to them, when you went to them, you came to me. Matching gift of $40,000. You guys have been so generous. Through our pledge campaign, we're going to be able to do things that we never dreamed of doing in this church. You've been so generous. I just want to ask you to pray about that. I want to ask you to pray about that. If you want to give something, write your check, put on there Guatemala Mission. We'll match that $40,000. And I'm going to tell you something. It gives us life. That's what Jesus is saying. You want life? You want it abundantly? I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to give you the right choice. And this is how you get life. I got this from a person that's participating in this Living a Better Story stuff. This is what they said. I am not a member of your church, but I was present at one of your services. I had not gone to church in over 10 years. Just hadn't been. Hadn't been to church in over 10 years. But I came to your church, and I kept hearing you talk about, don't miss this next Sunday, don't miss this next Sunday. I hadn't planned on coming, but I came the next Sunday. I decided to come back, and I'm happy I did. The message resonated strongly with me, and I found it refreshing. I prayed about the money every day for the past week. I have never in my life felt such a responsibility over $10. Have you felt that way? I've never in my life felt such a responsibility over $10. In other words, you know, she was saying I'm wrestling with it. It's kind of eating on me. To be honest, I was beginning to get frustrated. Can you relate to that? I was getting frustrated. But I still had no idea what God wanted me to do with that money. That morning, I was reading the newspaper, and I came across an all-too-common story about child abuse. And suddenly, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I felt like the breath had been knocked out of me. And suddenly, I was sitting there, just sitting there, sobbing. Although I had not felt it that strongly before, the one thing that can always bring tears to my eyes is a story about a child being abused or neglected. And the feeling is only magnified since I had my daughter. And then it hit me. It hit me right then. This is what breaks my heart. My calling is to help children who have been abused or neglected. I'm still praying and I'm still seeking guidance about how to multiply that money and exactly where to use it. But I just really wanted you to know that that inciting incident has already changed one life. It's changed one life. Changed one. Do you remember the guy at the beginning of the sermon I told you about? He said, whew, preacher, that passage scares the hell out of me. You know what? I don't think Jesus told us this story to scare the hell out of us. I think he told it to us to put heaven into us. To put heaven into us. And you know how that happens? By being in relationship to Jesus. You know where he is, don't you? I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you guys at First Church, you were the ones that welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and I was imprisoned and I was all alone and nobody came. But you guys came. You came to me. My world caved in. I thought I'd never be able to make it through another tomorrow. And you came to me. You came to me. You were the ones who came. And that, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that's where Jesus is. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.